Hello, welcome back to the Holland Road Encounter podcast. My name is Ella and I am joined by Anthony.
Hello.
And so we're both hosting the podcast today. The Encounter podcast is back for season 3 and there'll be a new podcast up every Friday. Today we are joined by Steve Walker and we will be talking about homelessness in our city.
Our first episode was released last week and features a lot of laughter as the Thrive interns join us to chat. So do listen to that if you haven't already.
As I am a Thrive intern, it feels only right to encourage you all to give it a listen.
This week, we are joined by the great Steve Walker. Steve, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Steve. I don't like titles, but my title is Operations Manager. We joke it's about heating and lighting, but it covers a few more things than that. I've been doing that for 4 years now. Before that, I was a financial advisor with NatWest. I'm married to Kim, who I first met doing our A-levels in Kent. So that tells you how long ago that was.
That's a long time ago. I didn't know that.
We moved to Brighton when Kim came to do a degree. We had one daughter, Lizzie, and I first came to Holland Road around 2003, and I was baptised in 2005.
Amazing. Thanks so much for joining us, Steve. Love that. And I'm glad that you mentioned the heating and lighting. That is obviously a key part of your role at Holland Road, and we're so grateful for all that you do, as well as everything else. So at Encounter, we love to get to know all of our guests and ask all the important questions. And so without further ado, Steve, we're going to ask you a few quickfire questions, sure, which I haven't prepared you for.
Right.
And so question number one, what do you prefer, bacon or chocolate?
I think you know the answer to that. It's a toughie. But I think the bacon just edges it.
I wasn't sure the answer, because for those who don't know, Steve eats bacon for his lunch almost every single day. And so I also know that he likes chocolate a lot. And so I was genuinely interested to know the answer to this.
It's difficult.
Okay, so chocolate, bacon it is.
Bacon it is, just.
Just, okay. Second question is, what would you rather, never listen to music again or never watch TV?
I think never watch TV because I'm a big sports fan, so if I couldn't watch football or golf, I struggle. But again, they're quite close.
Wait, so you're choosing TV over
music? TV only because of the sport. Yeah.
So you never watch music, so you never listen to music again, but you always watch TV. Yeah. But you always listen to music more than I see you watch sports.
Yeah, but it's a bit embarrassing if you came down there and I'm just sitting there watching the TV. You know, I'm not an intern, so I can't just spend time on Facebook.
But, you know,
music is
work.
A legitimate sort of, you know, to have in the background, isn't it?
Well, just for a caveat, I'm never on Facebook when I'm in the office. And if I am, it's only to message people to make sure everyone's doing okay. All right, and then our third quickfire question is, what is your favourite dinner?
That's difficult. It varies, again, depending on mood, time of year. But along with my daughter, the constant best dinner has got to be a really super roast dinner. So I love a super roast, and if I was pushed, that would be a lamb roast dinner. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. So this season, we're asking our guests the same important question.
Yeah.
So, Steve, if you were a car, what car would you be?
I say there's a few caveats to that, because in the office, the in-joke is that I'm trying to sort of get funds together for my Porsche fund, but we're still a long, long way off of that. And maybe I see myself as a Porsche man, but in reality, I'm probably more of a Morris Minor person, really.
Okay, amazing. I think we've already learnt a lot about you, but firstly, we'd love to know how you got involved in working with the homeless community.
Okay, so Lizzie, my daughter, was an intern at Antifreeze, which is part of Off the Fence, which is a local Christian homeless charity. So they do a twice weekly outreach, and part of that is really to offer food and drink, but that's more of an icebreaker more than anything else. The main purpose is to pray and signpost them to the centre and to get further support. So Lizzie was working there, and I thought this would be a great opportunity, because it's sometimes difficult to do daddy and daughter things together. So this was a great opportunity to spend some quality time together. So that's how I got into it in the first place.
That's cool. How long ago was that then?
About 6 years. And as I said earlier, my passion for this came out of serving with Antifreeze. And, you know, like a lot of people, I was sort of humbled by it. It broke a few myths for me. It destroyed some prejudices that I may have had. And you soon come to realise that homelessness can happen to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different routes, but a core sort of central theme is often about trauma, whatever form that takes. And a lot of people attribute homelessness with addiction issues, but they are often a symptom, not a cause of their homelessness. And so I soon came to sort of realise that.
And so now I would love to know, you've been working at Holland Road for quite a few years. I would love to hear more about Holland Road's work with the homeless community. Like, what do they do?
And Steve Brunton, he's a strong man of faith. He heads up the team at Antifreeze. So he inspired me to say, when he said there's a shortage of food provision in the city, particularly at the weekends, we launched what became the Welcome Cafe. We did it as part of Hope, which is one of our mission weeks. We had a handful because the weather was absolutely appalling, but he inspired us to say, yeah, this could work. So when we launched it a few months later, we started out the back on the patio with 17. And then just before COVID started, I think we reached sort of around about 50 in the hall.
Wow, that's amazing.
It. Yeah. And then I think I'm still no expert, but I wanted to know more. So you start going to events and liaising and building a network. So early on, a guy called Greg Headley from The Passage, his job and The Passage's work in Brighton is to build networks. So he influenced me. We met quite a few times. He did a Q&A with some of the teams that we run here. He even did a session with the youth, I think. Were you involved in that, Anthony?
I think so.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Entirely sure.
But we did a sleep out and stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, I've heard all you talk yes. about this. Yes. I think Lena was telling me about how they did lots of things like that before as well.
Yeah. I slept in the car park. Apparently I snored quite heavily. sort of ostracised and put in the corner.
Yeah, all the youth have been doing a sleep out this half term to raise money for Antifreeze.
Yeah. And then Joe Baldock, who's the current person that's now heading up The Passage in Brighton, he got in contact, he put us in contact with a couple of organisations and churches. So the Welcome Cafe, we felt we could only do it once a month, but the need was there across the month. So we worked with a couple of other organisations, and again, unfortunately, just before COVID, we got it up to 3 Saturdays in a month, and then obviously we had to pull that back. But in the interim, I've done stuff with Frontline Network, and you meet people like Kate Standing from Just Life, and they help people who have just moved in accommodation. One of her sort of sideline projects was having a move-in in box for people who have just moved into accommodation. Sarah Mitchell, met her, and she's from St Mungo's, who are the primary organisation that does outreach and are key workers with the homeless community, and that relationship led to them having some office space at the North End. And then also our own Anna Mutton, she used to work for the Brighton Housing Trust, and she used to invite us to conferences. And another key organisation in the city who are really great because they provide the sort of medical health for, and they're the main medical practitioners for the homeless community, ARCH. They do an annual conference where they just share what they're doing and some of the issues that face homeless people, because it's very difficult to treat severe conditions while someone hasn't got any accommodation. So so that's over the last few years, I've worked with many people, learnt a lot more, and I'm still learning and eager to learn. And I think that's one of the most important things that's come out of it and has encouraged me, is that there's obviously a lot of Christian organisations involved in this area and a lot of churches, but there's also non-faith organisations, and it's great to work in collaboration with them and share some of the things that motivate us to do what we do.
Yeah, I mean, it's so encouraging how I think working with the homeless and at Holland Road's work has been such an opportunity to work together with so many different places in the city, and like you're saying, faith and non-faith organisations, and just collaborate so much more and be more in a community together and working together, which is really exciting. I think that's probably what our city needs more of as well, is just everyone working together. Mm. That's really exciting to hear. Thank you, Steve. And so, obviously, I knew that we would talk about homelessness today, so I did a bit of research and was trying to look online to figure out some stats about homelessness. And so, obviously, I think lots of people know that homelessness is a huge crisis and affects so many people across the UK. And I think the statistics seem to vary quite a lot. When you look online, you get quite a lot of different numbers. Mm-hmm. And about those who are sleeping rough, I looked and I think I found the number 28,000 people in the UK have been sleeping rough in the last 12 months. That's only the official statistic. And it could be up to like five times higher than that, than those official figures. And now, obviously, we're currently in a global pandemic and coronavirus has significantly shaken up so many people's lives. And so I'd love to hear from you about your experience of how homelessness has changed in Brighton in light of the pandemic and in light of coronavirus. Mm-hmm. How has the situation shifted?
Well, there's a couple of things. One, even before COVID, in the last 18 months, I noticed the increased number with my volunteer work with Antifreeze, the increased number of women that were sleeping rough on the streets. Before, when I first started, it was predominantly men, and not only latterly was it women, but it was also people with severe medical conditions. So I even saw a guy in a wheelchair that only had one leg and he was still out on the street. So that was even before COVID. And then to take up your point about numbers, the people on the street are just the tip of the iceberg. They're the people you see. So there's a lot more people in temporary accommodation that are sofa surfing. So there's what's called the hidden homeless. So you know, they're not on the street, so you can't actually see them and sort of they don't register. But another point about rough sleepers was I was part of a charity called Galvanise, and they do surveys and they also do a count. And I did it in 2019, and the official figure, because it was snowing, it was terrible weather conditions, so everyone had sort of hidden away as much as possible, so we only found about 65. So that's the official figure. When COVID broke, the number of people that were emergency housed that were described as rough sleepers was over 230. Wow. In our city. So that just highlights about this disparity amongst the figures. And then I suppose the other thing, then the council stepped up, because obviously they're not the most compliant community, and they wanted to make sure they were safe, and also they weren't accelerating the spread of COVID. So they managed to emergency house those people. And that just shows what can be done when there's a crisis, because most studies that I've read on homelessness is the sort of, if you can house people, that just gives them a solid foundation which to then treat and support them in other ways. And so I would encourage people to check out Arch, who I mentioned earlier, and they on YouTube released a video where some of the clients that they had that were in accommodation shared how much being in accommodation helped them, you know, radically improve either their medical condition or their mental health by just having that stability. And so the council stepped up on that. The other thing we were part of, you've probably seen, and lots of people saw all those takeaway food bags outside the church. So we became a food hub, and we were the distribution point for initially the cold meals, but then the warm meals that went out in the evening. The warm meals that was transferred to the Brighton Centre for a while, so we remained doing the lunchtime meals. But then around about September 25th, the council decided that they would no longer provide that level of food support to across the board. So what we've recently done, with your help, Ella, as well, is as she's part of the team, is we've started doing our own lunchtime takeaway service. That's because there used to be a street sheet that went out to the homeless to say where they could get food and other support. But you know, one of the things on there was food, and there were loads of places across the city where they could get that. Whereas now, I think you did the research on that.
Yeah, I did.
It's about three, wasn't it?
Yeah, so now since coronavirus, since lockdown has ease, but obviously we're in a very different society than we were back in March. There's a lot less food provision. I think charities are struggling more to financially be able to afford to give out the meals, and just I think the logistics of being able to feed people at this time is so much harder. So currently there's only about 3 places offering food for the homeless. Then now Holland Motors has joined that as well. Yeah, that's really interesting to hear. Now, obviously, it's quite an exciting time because currently we've got 250 people in Brighton housed, which is a massive turnaround. And a year ago, that seemed impossible. So I think it's interesting to see how something good has come out of such an awful time, and hopefully, looking forward, that can continue.
Yeah, that's the challenge, and that's certainly a prayer point that the funding's probably in place to December, with the potential of it carrying on to March, but then. Who knows? That's the real challenge, what happens after then.
I think you've already touched on this, but what parallels do you see with Holland Road and other organisations that work with the homelessness or Christian organisations?
Thinking about that, and when we did the cafe, we had a verse up on the slide, and that was Matthew 25:35, and it said, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me." And that's the important bit, is making people welcome. And I mentioned Joe from the passage, and one of his things that he constantly shares is not to see the homeless as an underclass or subhuman, but actually view them as our neighbours, and Jesus calls us to love our neighbour. So I think that's a parallel, and I think the Brighton community, what's encouraged me in the years I've worked in this area is obviously one of the things on our heart and why we do it is not just to provide practical help, but provide spiritual support and help, because we think that will sustain people longer term. But that's not only for the homeless people we encounter. We also, especially with the Welcome Cafe, one of the encouraging things was, because Brighton has that sense of, you know, dealing with social injustice, that attracted, you know, people that had no faith or didn't express any faith. In the Welcome Cafe, we had people that saw what we were doing or saw something on our website that lived nearby and wanted to get involved. And we've seen that with the practical team, that we've had non-Christians come forward and volunteer for that. And they're saying, you know, "I don't go to church, I'm not a Christian, but I love what your church is doing." And I think that's a witness to our city and to these other organisations. And so, you know, what I've enjoyed in this time is that closer collaboration with other organisations and a chance to share why we do it, what motivates us to do it. And there's plenty of stories in the Bible about Jesus going around and helping the poor, and it gives us a chance to share that. So I think what we have in common is the fact that we want to be active and not just talk about it, but actually, you know, put words into action. And for us, it's about an expression of our faith. For the others, it's obviously injustice that motivates them, but by working together, hopefully we can point them to him.
Yeah, it's really interesting how I think such an exciting opportunity to both pursue justice and to share our faith and to share God's heart for his people, and the homeless are just as much part of that as anybody else's. I think that's really encouraging to hear that we should all be thinking of the homeless and those who are sleeping rough or struggling with housing as our neighbours as well, and that helps to frame that and frame how then God calls us to look after everybody and to love everybody. So our next question is, how have you seen God at work with the homeless community? Have you got a story of where you've seen God's provision or hand at work when you've been serving with the homeless community?
Yeah, I think you've probably seen this, Ella, as well. In our weekly updates, we've mentioned Stuart, who is a chef, and we've had a long relationship with him. So I thought that was God's timing. I mentioned this survey I was doing with Galvanise earlier, and I met Stuart first time in Brighton Library, and the person I was paired up with knew him, and because he used to go to first base,
And so he came over and had a chat, and in that he shared he was a chef and he had a copy of his CV. Now at the time, we needed a lot of help with hospitality. We had, we needed some help at the Welcome Cafe. There were some leaders, lunches coming up. Hub was short of some people to cook, so there was a great need for hospitality. So I invited him along, and it was great, and looked at his CV in detail, and just gave him the opportunity to volunteer. Steve Brunton knew him. He used to go to Antifreeze. Sarah Emerson, who used to be the manager of Antifreeze and now works for Just Life, I know Sarah really well. She's a friend of Lizzie's. She knew him as well, so we knew a little bit of background about him and his situation, and it worked well. And he did all that catering, and he suggested how we could improve our kitchen and so on and so forth. So it just gave him a sense of purpose, a sense of hope, a sense of what a lot of homeless people lack is normal social interaction that we take for granted, especially if you see people on the street, but they're just, you know, people are looking down at them and just going past them. So it's a chance to have some, you know, conversations as people worked and stuff like that. So he really enjoyed it. He helped out at a candlelight service. He was a real star, and he made some friends here, and he really enjoyed it. Now, the thing with Stuart was he comes from Essex, and it's very difficult for people that don't have a local connection to get housed in Brighton. Some people have been on the waiting list for about 10 years, and so there's lots of support, but there's a shortage of housing. And so some key workers he was working with said, look, you've got more chance if you go back to Essex. So he did that in COVID, and cut a long story short, he had to sleep back in the park because he got a bit stranded there. But eventually, again, with Steve's help and some local charities' help, he did actually get housed, and now he's in permanent accommodation. We keep in touch. We gave him a homewarming present, so we got him a microwave, some saucepan, and a chopping board. And Steve rings him every week. And the interesting thing is he's really keen to work again with a church again, volunteer. So, and Steve's working on that and try and put him in contact with the local church, so when things open up, he can carry on his good work and use his gifts there.
Wow, that's such an amazing story. That's so exciting just to hear that, like, arc of change and growth, and just how someone can be invited into our community. Mm. I think as a church, sometimes we forget how lucky we are to be in a community with so many people from across our city and from different ages, and how we have a chance to invite people into that, and people can come and join that community. That's so lovely to hear that.
Yeah. Mm. Our final question that we have for you is, how can we, as Encounter Community, help support the homeless and work towards ending the homelessness in our city?
Well, you know, as David always say, the first thing we should always do is pray. So, and we can all do that. So it doesn't matter what your situation is, we can all pray. So the first thing is to pray for the people that find them in that position. And it can generally happen to anyone. You know, there's a sort of well-known saying that you're only three mortgage payments away from being on the street, missing those payments. So it can happen to anyone. Pray for wisdom and long-term solutions from those who hold the purse strings both nationally and locally. Pray for continued collaboration between the different organisations, that, you know, some Joe's work comes to fruition. He's doing an interesting study and actually getting on peer groups. So instead of us doing what we think is right, is it actually involving the homeless in what we do? But also for the government not to totally rely on the third sector and churches. To give time is the other thing you can do. So you could do that, obviously do it safely. But as I mentioned earlier, sometimes, you know, whilst practically you can give someone a sandwich, never give money, but you can give a sandwich. But I think the most important thing you do is just give someone the time of day and have a conversation with someone rather than just pass them by like someone else does. If you've got a bit more time to give, then consider signing up for our practical team and working in that in some shape or form, or like I did with another charity like Off the Fence and Antifreeze. You can donate money to charity. You can donate clothing. A lot of the charities are taking in clothing. And we put out an appeal, didn't we, Ella, this week. We, you know, for our Monday lunch thing to be sustainable, we need a constant supply of food tins and stuff for sandwiches and fruit and cakes and stuff like that. So again, if you're a baker, then it does make a difference to have something that is homemade and something a little bit more personal in a bag. So you can use that. So there's plenty of things you can do. In terms of the other thing we're looking for is when they take away things to their room, they often only have a microwave. So we're looking at that. Ella's going to frown in a minute when we talk about pot noodles and stuff like that. But it's that sort of thing that that's something that someone could take away and put and warm up in the microwave. So again, if you're at the supermarket and you buy something for yourself, buy a couple of those and then bring them into church, we can use them. So there's lots of ways you can get involved. And yeah. I encourage you to do so.
Thanks, Steve. And we can put all of those in the description of the podcast and the show notes.
Yeah.
And have it all written down. And not only food, but also lots of people who are in emergency accommodation currently only have a microwave in their room. And so, again, if people have a spare like kettle lying about or a spare toaster, it can make the world of difference in someone's life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, amazing. Thank you so much, Steve, for joining us. It's been such an encouraging talk to hear you chat about homelessness and how Holland are getting involved and just how everything's been changing and how actually we're all responsible and we can all get involved and help out in different ways. It's been great to have you.
Thanks. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray for us to close. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for Steve. I thank you for him joining us. I lift up the work that him and Holland Road are doing with the homeless in Brighton and Hove, Lord. I thank you so much for how we're able to reach out to so many people in our city, Lord. I thank you that we're able to join with other organisations in Brighton and Hove and help feed people, just chat to people and just really welcome them into our community, Lord. I just pray for wisdom for us as a church and for organisations in Brighton and Hove of how to support people over winter, Lord. I pray for our council, Lord, as they think about the money and how to continue the housing situation, Lord. I just pray for real wisdom for our government. Mm-hmm. I just pray for our listeners as well, Lord. I thank you that we all have the opportunity to help out, Lord, and to serve so many of our community, Lord, and to serve our neighbours, as Steve was saying. I just pray that you speak to each and every one of us, Lord, of how we could best help out this season, Lord, how we could maybe bake a cake or donate some food or donate our time, Lord, or just have a chat with someone as we pass them by, Lord. I just pray that you really stir that up in our hearts, Lord, of how we can best love the homeless in this time, Lord Jesus. In your almighty name, amen.
Amen. This has been the Encounter Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you again, Steve, for joining us today.
You can follow us on Instagram @encounter_HR and subscribe to our podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We post a new podcast every week on Friday, and so do look out for that. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will return next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.